Luke chapter number 6. How many of you today feel like that you can relate to people? You feel like you're relatable? Two hands. How many don't think they're relatable? How many think they have trouble relating to people? All right. We're going to get a great lesson, I think, from the Lord today about how to be relatable. Because if you and I cannot relate to people, we'll never make a difference in this world. And Jesus left us here to be relatable. So we can help people, we can sympathize with people, and we can encourage people. In the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, I'll be honest with you, every sermon I think I've ever heard on the scripture I'm about to read to you is always a sermon on giving, money. I'm going to read it, you tell me if this is what you've heard, okay? Verse 38, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. How many's heard that before? When you've heard that before, has it been a sermon on giving? How many of you say yes, it's been a sermon on giving? Well, we're going to use it as a sermon on not giving money, but giving other ways. And I think Jesus had this intention, not with the money. Believe it or not, Jesus was not hung up and stressed out over the finances.
Amen.
Because He knew that His Heavenly Father had a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owned it all.
That's right.
And if you have need of it, He would see that you got it.
Amen.
And He just wants you to be faithful with what He gave you. That's really the only financial message we need today. It really is.
Amen.
If we could just be faithful with what God has given us, then God would get all the things He needs to get done with the money that we have.
That's right.
Brother Greg's like having a fit back. He's the church treasurer. He's like, really? Don't tell the preacher they got to get more. When you have the right relationship with God, let me tell you something about giving. Giving is a relationship.
Amen.
Renosha and I got married June the 12th, 1982. How'd I do? First Sunday, I've shared this with you before, but I still ain't got over it. First Sunday after marriage, she wrote a check and ripped it out of our checkbook and put it in the offering plate. And I looked at her and I'm like, what are you doing? We hadn't discussed that part of our marriage yet. But we had a conversation that day about it. See, I wasn't a preacher. I was barely a good church person back then. But thank the Lord that I had a wife who wanted to put God first in our marriage.
Amen.
Even though her husband really hadn't gone that far yet. And you know what? I learned a valuable lesson that day. I did. I learned that we'll never be able to outgive God.
Amen.
And I don't think we've ever. I think even when we're out of town, I've seen her write makeup checks. I'm like, really? We're out of town? I don't think we have to make up checks. But she takes it serious. And I've learned through the years that it's our relationship with God that makes us want to give back.
Amen.
Not out of necessity. Not out grudgingly, because, you know, I remember leading a guy to the Lord when I lived in Colorado. And when he showed up to my office, we're going to talk about baptism and church membership. And he brought his W-2 form, Brother Greg, and last year's taxes. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I went to church before. They asked for our last year's taxes. And they would bill us for our tithes and offerings for this coming year. I'm like, wow, us Baptists are like way behind. And it took every fiber in my being to tell him we don't do that here. You know, I'm like, we don't do that here. But we live under grace, not the law. And Jesus is trying to teach us about relationships. And I want to share a couple of things that I just wrote down to get my thoughts together to give to you. So let me just read them to you. I put down, we expect more out of other people than they can give us. If you're a young lady or you're a young man, you're looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and you think you have found them, and you're going to be happily ever after, and there'll be no problems, I want you to know something. Hang on. Mr. Right and Mrs. Right comes with baggage. In-laws. Come on. A lot of stuff. A lot of things you didn't know about when you got in that relationship. And you had a high expectation. But they ended up, they couldn't live up to your expectations. And you know what? A lot of marriages have fell apart because we've had too high of expectations for the other person.
Amen.
And I think how we perceive them is going to be a big difference of how we will be able to relate to them. I put the second thing down. We hold people to a higher standard than we want God to hold us to.
Amen. That's right.
Think about it. We hold people to a higher standard than we want God to hold us to, Brother Godfrey. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
I mean, we want it to go this way, and we expect it to go that way. And when they don't do it, we just can't handle that. What we learn from Jesus is an unconditional love. But how many of you practice unconditional love? How many of you have like three strikes you're out? Aren't you glad God doesn't have three strikes you're out with you?
Amen.
So why is the standard different for you than it is for the neighbor? Or your wife. Or child. Unconditional love is what you always receive from God. Always. But we don't share unconditional love back. That lets me understand that I have a higher expectation for my mom than I do for myself in God's eyes. I need WC and my mom and dad and Ida Mae. I need people of that age group to live a higher Christian standard than I expect God to want me to live by. And it doesn't work that way.
Amen.
And because we have those kind of thoughts, we don't relate well. So I wrote down three things that I think can make a difference in our life. How we relate. First of all, we got to understand there is someone that can relate to us. His name is Jesus. Now you say, well, preacher, you're a preacher and it's church and we've got to hear a lot about Jesus, a whole bunch about heaven, you're going to throw hell in a few times, and in 20 minutes we're going to get an invitation, we're out of here. True. Probably what you'll hear. But I want you to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think Jesus is relatable to your situation.
Amen.
I think He is the person in your life, even though you have higher expectations for other people, I think Jesus is the one that can live up to your expectations.
Amen.
And He loves you unconditionally. And when you feel like you're not lovable, He loves you anyway. See, that's a big problem we have today as well. We have a lot of people who just don't feel like they're lovable. And they feel like that they've disqualified themselves in God's eyes. So I've been pretty good for a while, God. But I did that, and I did that, and I actually did that last night, and did it this morning too. And you know what? I think God's probably done with me. And I want you to understand something. You will never disqualify yourself as one of God's children when you become one of His children. He will never stop loving you.
Amen.
You can have everybody in the world full that you're not His child. You can even tell people you're not His child. But once you've been saved, you are covered in His blood. I take John 10:28 for what it says. No one will be able to pluck me from the Father's hand.
Amen.
My security doesn't depend on me holding God, but God's got me.
Amen.
So no matter how you feel about yourself today, God has you. And He's got you covered. If you've ever trusted Him with your life, then you're God's. No matter how you feel this morning. Let me give you three things before you go home. Can Jesus relate to me? Can He? How can God relate to me? What does He know about living in this world of misery? What does He know about troubled children? What does He know about marital problems? What does He know about health troubles? What does He know about financial issues? What does God know? Because He's God. How does He know what I'm going through? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. If you had to describe your life in 12 words, could you? 12 words. You're 16 years old. You're probably 16 years old. Almost out for the summer vacation. The girlfriend that you are in love with loves you back. But you just cannot get along with your parents. Because that's what happens when you're 16. If you're a mother of two children, they're beautiful, healthy two children, but you're overwhelmed. You've been happily married to the one you've been happily married with for 32 years. But there's some issues. What's your life like? If you could put in 12 words or less, what's going on in your life? And my question to you is, can Jesus relate to that, Jamie? Can Jesus relate to that? And I'm telling you, He can. And I'm going to tell you how He can. In Hebrews chapter 4, we have like this awesome passage of Scripture that I think we just zoom by. But I want you to pause for a minute with me today and just see what He really says. Verse 14, Hebrews 4. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, what? Yes. One of the hardest things, Billy, for me to understand, to stand here and explain to you guys, is how that one day, the very one that created the world, the very one that spoke into existence, the very one that was there when He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, the very one that the angels up in heaven flew around the throne saying, holy, 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 chose to come and be born from a woman and to be flesh and blood. He knew what it was like to be 5 years old. He knew what it was like to have brothers and sisters. He knew what it was like to be rejected. You might be in here and you're single. You wonder if you're ever going to get married. Jesus knew what it was like to be single. You're in here and you've had some people turn their backs on you. Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed. Amen. You've had people physically hurt you. There's people in this building who've had people physically hurt them. Young women, young men. They've been physically abused. Jesus knows what it's like to be physically abused. He was tested, tempted, went through what you go through. He knew what it was like to be tired. Huh? Did He? He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew everything. Why? So He could do two things. Number one, He wanted to be able to die for you. And the only way he could die for you was he had to live in the world that you live in. He had to live in the flesh and blood like you live in. And he had to prove that you could live without sin. And he did it. He did it. But he knew you couldn't. And so when he went and gave his life on the cross, he did it for you. Because you couldn't do it for yourself. But let me tell you something else that we have dropped the ball on. We all sit in these buildings of church and we all walk out of here with our same problems, our same trouble, and we just think, you know what? It's great he died for me. I feel wonderful I get to go to heaven, but I sure wish somebody would help me with this problem I got. And I'm telling you today, not only did he die for you, he lived for you in this world and showed you that he knew what it was like to be treated this way, and he's here for you now. When the Bible said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that's a great verse. I remember when I was in Belize and trying to preach out of a Spanish Bible. First time I ever come across this in this different language. And I believe, honestly, I think the Spanish explained it the best. In Spanish, they had two words for friend, amigo and compañero. An amigo is a friend that's a friend. A compañero is a traveling friend. In the particular scripture, it says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's not an amigo used there. It's a compañero. What does that say to me? That says to me, no matter what I go through, no matter where I go, no matter what my situation is, he is with me and he can relate to me. He understands. He knows what I feel. He knows my discouragement. He knows my trouble. He is with me all the way. Isn't that awesome today to know that? Knowing all of that, look at verse 16. Let us therefore come what? Unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Underline the word help. When? Curious today. Just curious. I don't know your lives. How many of you would just be honest enough and said, preacher, in my life there is a need. Flip your hand up. Wow. Thank you for your honesty. You know what I just read to you today? The Bible says you can come to Him. Not Brother Steve. Brother Steve can't fix you. I've got two higher standards for you. I'm the guy. I said high standards for... If you've been saved, I put all kinds of high standards up, Calvin. I do. I'm sorry, I do. And I think sometimes, well, you're saved, y'all live better. The end. Right? But you know what? I'm sure glad God doesn't hold me to that standard. Aren't you? And when I need help, and in my time of need, and by the way, there's a lot of times of need in Steve's life. You know what the Bible says? I come how? He said boldly. I thought about that. What does that mean? Boldly. Well, preacher, I think it's humbly. I think boldly is come as you are. Preacher, I'm messed up. That's fine, because God wants you just as you are. Preacher, this is... I'm telling you, I'm a train wreck. God loves train wrecks. He can do more with the train wreck than R.J. Corman can. Amen?
Amen?
He knows about train wrecks of life. He lives in this flesh and blood body. He knows what you're going through. And He says, I want to help your train wreck, but you've got to come to me with the train wreck.
Amen.
You know how we come to Him? We walk in church and people say, how you doing? And we say, what? Piggy. Fine. Everything's great. Everything's great over here. You know what? We ain't none of us telling the truth. Come on. I got a preacher brother down in Somerset and I meet him. And every time I meet him, Calvin, I said, how are you? And he says, what?
Blessed.
Well, I'm blessed too, but I've got some stuff. Anybody got any stuff going on? Jesus can relate. But let me tell you something. He can't help you if you won't come to Him.
Amen.
You need help? He said, come to me how? Boldly. That means you just walk on in. That means you didn't change your clothes. You're dirty. This is how I am. I'm caught and I need you. Boldly. And you know what you find? The Bible says you'll find grace. What is grace? Getting what you don't deserve. To help and what? The time of need. God's got that for you today if you want it.
Amen.
He does. There's people walk in and walk out. And they walk in and they walk out the same way they come in. And God, I'm telling you today, God wants to fix it and change your life.
That's right.
Because He can relate to you. How does He relate to you? Go with me to Psalms 103. I'm about done. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
I had five. That's good. Psalms 103. Since we're being honest, be honest with this question. How many of you, you don't have to raise hands on this, but you can just look at me. How many of you have done some like stupid stuff in your life, and you just feel like, you know what, that might have been the stupidest thing. That might have just knocked me like down to where, I don't know if God even wants to deal with me anymore.
I'm not sure. I'll raise my hand on that
one. All right, thank you. Like, that was stupid right there, and I think God might just be... That might have... You know, I know that you can cross the line with everybody, and I'm sure God's got a line, and I probably just crossed it. Let me read this psalm to you. Psalm 103, and we'll start with verse number 8. I think you all might like this. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger. I put like amen in my parentheses right there. I'm not slow to anger at all. I'm like quick fuse.
Yes, sir.
Hammer cock, let's get it on, right? Who else likes to drive down the road like that? Anybody? When you pull out the driveway. They just not mess with me. Last Monday, I mean, I had like a great Sunday. Monday was like a crash and burn Monday. And I told Rochelle on the way, I hope somebody says something today. Today would be a good day for somebody to say something. Mike, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Everybody else is like spiritual big halos over their head. They don't have that kind of thinking. But I'm just being honest. These days sometimes, the hammer's back, man, and we're like, we're ready to fire. Fuse is lit and it's short. Come on, somebody point to a husband or a wife. At least this side point to that side, because this side's got a bunch of quick fuses. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
I like the word plenteous. Let's talk about a bunch. We've got three over here. That ain't plenteous. That ain't plenteous. Then He says this. He will not always chide. I didn't know what that meant. I looked it up. He will not always be displeased, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, what? Nor reward us according to our iniquities.
Praise the Lord.
He's not gave us what we deserve.
Amen.
Man, I wish I had this verse growing up and gave it to Jack and Juan to me. Like when I got in trouble, they didn't reward me with ice cream. Mom, they had this crazy bush that grew up on our back porch. They had like a post that held the back porch awning up, and this vine grew up. And my mom was like the quickest in motion. Like snap, grab, whack. And they were thin. And she always said this while she's whooping me. Y'all, if it's against whooping, you need to talk to her. She's sitting right there in the second seat. When can your dad get told? I'm thinking, why do I need to whoop? She doesn't beat me to death. You know? Get them little red lines on you. Let me tell you, she's sitting on the second seat. If it's too late to get her, like, child protective services or whatever, there she is. Anybody else have a mama like that? Or that? Anybody can. The rest of them have, they all had time outs. You took time out to rip a limb off. Back to the story. Don't lose your place. He's not going to give us, He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Y'all need to say something.
Amen.
You know what you've done.
Yes, amen.
This ain't open mic night where everybody's got to come up and confess stuff, but y'all know the stuff you've done. Has he dealt with you like you should have been dealt with? Look what else he says. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. The word fear there is talking about respect. As far as east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
Amen.
I'm going to pick on Jack and Wanda again. I know Christy's fixing to get up and protect because she made a vow with my mom. But I've been in groups of people and my mom gets to tell them stories. That's why we have like this war going on. So if I get to do it publicly. And we've been in a group of people and she'll say, well, let me tell you what Stephen Duane did when he was in high school. You think that she's forgotten as far as the east is from the west? We can pray for Alzheimer's dementia, but I guarantee if she gets either one, she'll sit in the house and just be telling Stephen's story. I've kind of made a vow to tell one of the stories until I go out as well. But you know what God says, Scott, about my stuff I've done? I'm going to get rid of them as far as it is from there to there.
Amen.
What He did on Calvary paid my sin debt. See, I used to have this fear of standing before God and having to give an account of what I did up there, you know, when I got to heaven. But then I realized when I get to heaven, He's not going to hold me accountable for those sins, but He has forgiven my sins.
Amen.
He's forgiven them. And when I get up there, He's not going to say, Steve, remember what you did back. And I'm going to say, He's not going to ask me.
That's right.
He's not going to ask me. He covered them on the cross. You think He can relate to me? Wow. He can relate to me. Let me show you the clothes. How does He help me relate? Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. I'm done. Just got three or four verses to read. We're done. 1 John 4. Verse 7. If you haven't heard anything else, please hear this, okay? This is like the great stuff. Beloved, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live how? Now get ready. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the big fancy word propitiation, which means payment for our sins.
Amen.
One more verse. Beloved, if God so loved, and I put the word so circled there, if God loved me in such a way, we ought also to what? Let me explain. explain this verse to you. When Steve needs grace, Greg, and Steve needs a lot of grace, God's always bringing grace on me. When I need forgiveness, and I've done something that I shouldn't have done, and I've done it more than once, Brother Godfrey, and He keeps forgiving me, and I keep asking for forgiveness, you know what He does? He gives me a shovel bunch of loads of forgiveness.
Amen.
And when nobody cares and nobody really has any compassion on me, and I need somebody just to give me a little bit of compassion, you know what He does? He gives me like a whole bunch, shovelfuls of compassion. But how many of us, when somebody needs some grace, we get a spoon out? That's what I got for you, right there. You need some forgiveness? I got you a spoon. There you go. See, Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. For how you have received, so shall you give." Really is what He said. And every one of us has received a shovelful. But we're giving spoonfuls out. You know why? Because all of a sudden we can't relate to people. And I'm telling you what you need to learn to do today. You need to open that receiving door open a little more. And be reminded what God has done for you. When you was unforgivable, He forgave you.
Amen.
Shovels full. But if that neighbor needs forgiveness, you got a spoon. I'm just not going to look at you, but I want you all to raise your hands if you give spoons out instead of shovels.
Amen.
I'm turning back around. Has He not gave you a shovel full?
Amen.
Shovels full?
Amen.
Patience? Shovels full of patience with Steve. And I got about maybe a spoonful of patience with some people. Come on.
Amen.
We're never going to be relatable until we work on this relationship right here. And Wayne, if I can walk out of here and know what He's done for me, then there should be no one out there that I cannot relate to. I've had a lot of people, when I knock on doors and they open the door, it's like scared me to death when I saw what I saw. Literally, Jamie, like, what? But you know, when God looked down at me, He saw the same thing. And Jesus was relatable. And when I accepted Him, see, I keep thinking about some things He told His disciples. He said, "To whom much is given, much is required." I'm kind of thinking, Scott, that maybe this fits in that category. Because I came for a lot of forgiveness, Brother Eric. Because I had a lot of stuff. And I was just 12. But I had a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you today that when I asked for forgiveness, the only way I can explain it was this way. It felt like a load was taken off.
Amen.
Whoever felt like you had a load just lost a load.
Amen.
Can I tell you what? As saved people, we load ourselves right back up. And He's one to forgive you. He's got a shovel ready to just bless you to crazy. He's going to forgive you. He's going to love you. He's going to have patience on you. He's going to help you. But you've got to come before His throne boldly. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. To what, class?
Forgiveness.
You got some today that needs forgiven? You don't need to tell a preacher. You need to tell God.
Amen.
You can come as you are to Him boldly and say, God, and He's got a shovel full for you.
Amen.
Of forgiveness. And He wants you to walk out of here and He wants you to relate to people with a shovel full of forgiveness. Because that's exactly what you see from Him, not a spoonful. If you're giving spoonfuls out, you just ain't got enough patience with people, and you're just about done with people, listen, you need to work on this relationship right here. Because trust me, you're getting shovels full from him. And he's asking for shovelfuls going out. Let's stand and pray today. I'm curious about a couple of things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Shane, can I get you to come to the piano? I'm just going to let Shane play an invitation today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this building this morning, and you said, "Preacher, you know, I find myself just giving spoonfuls out." But you're right. God has gave me shovelfuls. And I need to change some things in my life. And I need some forgiveness. I'm asking you today just to come to this altar and talk to God. Come boldly. Maybe today. Listen, maybe today, if you were to die, you don't think you'd go to heaven. I want you to know today, Jesus is standing, ready to receive you, and He wants to save your soul. He paid that price for you. All you got to do is come. Would you come while Shane's playing?